Lotus's new human Uber lets you hire someone to do your dirty work while wearing your face.
Why? I'm sorry, if it's my dirty work, I don't want them to know it's me. I'm going to have them put your face on.
I know.
Put Katie's face on and go whoop somebody's ass.
You just uncovered one of the downfalls of this, yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so we are very privileged today to have a lot of items sent in by our wonderful listeners. If you ever want to send us something that you would like us to read on the air, please email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We love listener mail. Even if you just want to say hello. We will never give your mail to anybody. We don't save it. We would never sell it. We don't expose who you are. But we just like to hear from you. It makes us feel like we're not just sitting in a cold room in Midtown.
Right. Which we enjoy. But
it's more fun when we get feedback.
And it's so much fun hearing from you. It's like it brightens our day.
And the stuff that you guys come up with is like, I would never even, I would never even find this stuff.
Right. So we have here a 1-2 punch with penis news.
Okay. So penis news is a segment where I started it. It's one of my favorite segments. It's penises in the news, dick updates, scrotum stories, the member in the news, what's going on. Cause there's always something about a dick.
Yeah. And this one is from listener Katrina G.
Yay, hi, Katrina G.
Thank you so much for reaching out to us with this. Okay. So she writes, Dear Jaquetta and Katie, here's a member on the move for you.
Thank you. Member on the move.
All best.
That's the PG hashtag for it.
All right. So what it is, okay, his name is Sandro Wagner, and he's a soccer player.
Okay.
Okay. So Wagner
football for those of you in Europe.
To the Bundesliga Giants was confirmed at the beginning of the month, and as fate would have it, his first goal for his new club arrived against the team he just left.
Wow.
So he's playing against the team he just left.
That's badass.
But not only that.
Well, he knows how they work, too, so it should be, fairly easy for him to score.
Yeah, so he's 30 years old, and he comes off the bench with 5 minutes remaining, and so he runs out there, do-do-do-do-do, and...
he was accompanied by...
So apparently, it was his penis that got the first goal.
How?
So, it happened
so fast. And
that's
a genuine how.
He says, well, there's a video footage of it, so you can look it up and see what happened in there. The ball is being kicked by the teammates. Right?
I hope it's in slow-mo when the penis comes out.
They're kind of driving it down to the goal. I don't know soccer talk. I don't know football talk.
Okay.
They're driving it down, and they kick it towards him, but it hits him in the penis, and he thrusts, and it goes into the goal.
That's a legal move, right? Because you just can't use your hands.
Yeah.
Wow.
He said it happened so fast, but it was still very pleasant.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
But it was still very... I like his style.
Yeah. That's rude for
the other team. Like, take that.
Yeah. But yeah, it may be that my penis played a part. If it it was there, I'm just not sure, Wagner told the newscaster after the game.
Wow.
Yeah. But there it is. It bounds off his crotch.
He must have a dick of steel. Most people, when something flies at that area, will do anything to get away from it. This guy's no problem.
Yeah, because in a related story, he dislocated his finger last year, but he just kind of got up. And there's video of his finger going in some crazy direction.
Wow.
And
so this guy's impervious to pain.
He's all right.
I'll use what I have
to
get what I want, which is a goal.
So his penis played soccer for him and got the goal against his old team.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Good for him. That's some good penis news.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you. Katrina G.
So I have some bizarre penis news, if I may, since we're on penis news. This is something I actually could not believe. Apparently, and nobody do this.
Yeah.
There's something called penis laser whitening.
This is from our listener. We both have the same
thing. Oh, someone sent this in? Okay.
Yes.
Who sent this in?
This is
from Katrina as well?
No. Okay. This is from one of our listeners. Her name is Kaha A.
Thank you, Kaha.
Yes, long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Yay.
I just want to share the story with you for your Member on the Move penis news segment. I lived in Asia for a bit now, but I'm still tickled when I hear of a new and more outrageous cosmetic procedure becoming popular. Here's the link to the story below.
That's crazy.
Thai penis whitening trend raises eyebrows. So let's both get on this penis news.
Okay, we're going to delve into this. So I found this... The headline for this one I found in the Telegraph was "Lightening the Load."
Ew.
Thai men gripped by penis whitening trend. Mm. So apparently the health ministry had to issue a warning over this of men going out there and getting penis whitening because in many parts of Asia, like in many parts of the world, the lighter you are, the more favorable things are start to be for you. So being darker is associated with being outside and being poor. Like working.
Right. So if you're working outside for a living and then you're tan, that means that you're poor.
That you're poor.
But here in the U.S.,
yeah, it's the opposite because of Coco Chanel.
Tan, that means you have time and money.
Yeah, to be in the sun.
In the leisure. So,
but also, I think it looks healthy.
Yeah.
Right? To have a little sun on you.
Yes, yes, I think so too.
So what does she say?
It says here, a Thai penis whitening trend raises eyebrows. The supposed trend of penis whitening has captivated Thailand in recent days and left it asking if the country's beauty industry was taking things too far.
Well, yes. It is taking things too far. Here, so my question is just the penis?
That's what
Really, it's like the guy takes off his shorts and it's like, the sun!
Just one guy, the BBC Thai service spoke with one patient who underwent the treatment, who told them, I wanted to feel more confident in my swimming briefs.
How... In your swimming briefs or out of your swimming briefs? I don't get it.
And I don't understand. He said the 30-year-old said in his first session of several was 2 months ago and since then has seen a definite change in the shade. And what for, they say. They what for? And other people making fun could be used as a torchlight. Ha ha, let it shine, they were saying. People, when one facility started introducing the vagina whitening service...
Excuse me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm confused. I understand colorism, and I understand the effects that it's had on people over time, and I know that, yes, people are always trying to get lighter skin. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, because I feel like with the way things are going now, the darker your skin is, the more protection you have. Mm-hmm. You have very light skin, so you know. The sun is coming for you.
Yeah, it's not. My skin is wrinkling. I burn.
Yeah, you burn. Not the wrinkle part, but the burning, right? So, and also it's, but you're not a person who tans, but you also don't hide. Like you want sun on you, you want to be healthy, you want to get your vitamin D, right?
Right.
So I understand all these things. I understand that in lots of parts of Africa, they have these like lightening creams and things like that, but it's usually on parts of your body that everyone can see all the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you want to lighten your face because maybe in your culture that makes you more attractive or more palatable to employers. But I'm sorry, if your vagina is a different color than the rest of your body, I don't see how that's helping you.
Yeah. It's
it's just going to look like a patchwork.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's like Frankensnatch. It's not going to be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They say it costs about $650 for 5 sessions. It doesn't last. They don't know.
Huh? It fades?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They're popular among gay men and transvestites who take good care of their private parts, and they want to look good in all areas. It's explained.
Wow. I mean, who's saying that?
The Thai men wanted to have their private parts a shade whiter than the rest of them. And
that's so sad.
This is what some people want, but the health officials warn side effects such as pain, inflammation, scars... And effects on the reproductive system. And
let's be clear, it's laser.
Yeah.
It's laser on your penis.
Yeah.
Like.
And also you can get nasty looking spots.
Yes. But also, a laser at your penis.
Yeah.
No.
It's not necessary. It wastes money.
Yeah.
And it may give off more negative effects than positive ones. And so anybody telling anybody else you need to be a different color or change or you're not as good or this is better... Gotta just kick them in the chops.
You cannot go to people like that and have them take your money. An extreme example I found when I did a little research is apparently their skin bleaching is a thing, right? And in Thailand, it's linked to racism, of course. And there was a cosmetics firm that had to withdraw an advert, which links success to fairer skin. And it said there was a woman. It says, "In my world, there's tough competition. If I don't take care of myself, everything I have built, the whiteness I have invested in." Could be gone, says Thai actress Chris Horwang. Then her skin turns black in the ad, and another paler woman walks into view of the camera, at which point the actress says, "If I were white, I would win."
No.
Are you winning?
I don't think I'm winning.
You know what I mean? Like, is that the key to things now? This is absolutely ridiculous. they withdrew the ad and apologized. So that they only, first of all, you can't apologize for that. No, you meant can't. It. You're an ad agency. Yeah, you believe that. And you're trying to fool people. They said they just wanted to promote improvement of personality, appearance, skill, and professionalism. Why are we still dealing with this whole white, this light skin thing? Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that, like, there's any, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Dark skin, light skin, whatever.
It doesn't.
I can understand laser trying to look, have your entire body be lighter. Mm-hmm. But just the dick.
It's just so silly.
And to take it even further, if we want to talk about stereotypes. What is supposedly the best dick out there? It's not white.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's not white.
Right.
No matter what negative or positive connotations around that, that's not, you know, one's going for that.
Nobody's going for it.
Bizarre penis news.
Yeah. So thank you so
much. Yeah, thank you. We're on the same wavelength, Kaha.
Oh, you are the best. Thank you. We love hearing from you.
MVP. All right. What do you have?
Let's see.
We got more listeners. Get this train rolling.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to run a train on this listener mail.
We have a lot of it, but let's go take a detour.
Okay.
With robot news.
All right. So robot news, we're here for on the robot apocalypse. Supposedly it's going to happen this year. And supposedly there's a movie coming out as well called Robo Apocalypse, but that's always been the case.
Yeah.
So let's hear what we have to say. We're freaked out by this.
This is new. Human Uber lets you hire someone to do your dirty work while wearing your face.
Why? I'm sorry. If it's my dirty work, I don't want them to know it's me. I'm going to have them put your face on.
I know.
Put Katie's face on and go whoop somebody's ass.
You just uncovered one of the downfalls of this. Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't you love to lead a rich social life without the hassle of getting out of bed in the morning?
No, I like going out.
Yeah.
That's the social life part.
Exactly. Right?
No, I'm old. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
Maybe get a better social life if you don't want to go to your social life activities. If you don't want to do it, then you're doing it
just
wrong.
Just don't. Okay.
Yeah, so soon you may be able to, thanks to the new prototype of a product called Chameleon Mask.
None of this sounds good.
Yeah, at the MIT Technology Review's MTech conference.
Sorry, MIT, is this what this is all about? Mm-hmm. Are you guys not working on, like, cancer and racism?
Touted by the creator as Human Uber, the service would essentially allow customers to hire a living, breathing human to walk through the world in his or her stead.
Okay.
Yes, and apparently... It was developed in Japan.
Can I send you to the gynecologist for me?
Yeah, it provides a way to attend events remotely using another person's body. It's surprisingly natural.
There's already, like, not enough people in Japan as it is, and this is the point.
Yeah, right.
They need to be getting together and having sex and having kids.
So what happens is a surrogate user wears a mask-shaped display that shows the remote user's live face.
So I have a question. I don't know if you saw the image that I saw. I don't know much about this story. It looked like somebody had an iPad stuck
on
their
face. Yeah.
I know who that... I know that's a mask.
Yeah.
I want it to be a little more seamless than that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to accept that.
A voice channel transmits the remote user's voice while the remote user looks through the... the video-enabled tablet attached to the front of the surrogate mask.
Why is there a person there?
Because they can walk into the room and they can go to...
But I thought we had that robot on a stick that does it. This is going backwards.
Because people can kick the stick and put kick me on it. But with a human...
Oh, you can't put kick me on a human?
You can, but that human can also take it off.
Okay. Like in school.
Or if it's like, I could just see like someone else's face on a human Uber person's body and they do a little dance as you're saying something serious.
Yes, that's exactly. They give in a hand job motion.
Yeah.
You need to be here at 5. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah. Yeah, so they could see through it. And then the surrogate screen also displays any text instructions or that the remote user might type in from home.
Mm-hmm. If I do this in Uber, I'm like, I'm sorry, I thought you wanted to see your parents having sex. That's why I went over here. My bad. Get a real life.
It's like Skype, but with a paid stranger wearing your face over his face. Or her face.
I guess I'm... am I getting old? Is that what it is?
Such robot surrogates have been used to attend meetings, conduct surgery.
Excuse me? Like I said, are you going to go to the gynecologist for me for my pap smear?
So, you mean like the surgeon... mask is going to go on a guy from, like, say, Bayonne, who wants to make an extra $10 an hour, and he's going to cut you open with the surgeon bone. Like,
no,
cut deeper.
It's not going to be me. It's going to be my surrogate as well.
Yeah.
I need you to go get something amputated for me. And the doctor's like, I'm not going to do this. The guy from Bayonne's going to do it. Tony.
Tony, get over here.
Get over here.
Hey. Yeah. All right.
All right, let's go.
I got my own now.
I just finished unloading a bunch of shit. I'm ready to operate.
Yeah.
I got my own knife. It's a box cutter. Whatever. Yeah.
I can, it can even help active duty military members meet their newborn children.
No, it cannot.
No, it can't. They have to come back.
What we should be doing is making sure that people are here for the birth of their child. Yeah. That's a very important moment in both the child and the parent's life.
Mm, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
The design is based on our hypothesis, assuming physical and social telepresence can be embodied in such a surrogate human who imitates the remote user.
No one saw that movie
Would they have to imitate the remote user? So you have to now be skilled in the ways of this person?
I have slight scoliosis and I'm pigeon-toed. Are they going to bring that to the table?
Yeah, well, I guess maybe that could, for an extra 5 an hour.
Now we're talking about improvers.
Yeah.
So this person has to spend time with me first to know how I do.
Yeah.
Are they going to be as witty as I am? Oh, wait, it's me talking.
It's you talking.
But what about all my facial expressions? Well, they'll see my face.
They'll see your face, but your body, the body is not going to go along with the facial expressions.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be hilarious in the way that it's going to be such a disconnect.
Yes. Can I, I'm going to hire a tall Asian man to be me.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Make it work.
In a bikini.
Yeah, make it work.
Yeah.
In my bikini. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so in one pilot test, they sent a chameleon mask-wearing surrogate to a government office to obtain a document on the remote user's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear from footage whether the document-fetching mission was a success.
I feel like they walked in there and some woman sitting behind the counter was like, well, look at this shit. No.
Yeah.
Extra paperwork. What do we have here? What is it called?
But the office clerk readily addressed the face she saw on the screen rather than the surrogate. So,
what?
This doesn't mean anything.
This doesn't mean anything.
It's meaningless. They're trying to gauge the success of somebody reacting to it. You're going to react to something.
Okay, this is a woman who works with the public and has probably been, or a man who's been working with the public for a long time, and they're not getting paid enough to have some big reaction to it.
Yeah.
You come in there and you want a form? Here.
Yeah.
Good.
Or
next.
Ignore it.
Yeah.
Whatever. What do you want?
They probably later, did you see someone come in here with a robot face? They're like, I don't know. I don't look at you. I don't look at anybody.
I don't care.
I give a form. I don't care if a dog came in here. 3 dogs stacked up wearing a trench coat. I give you the fucking form. that's what I'm paid to do. I'm union. I got benefits. I'm about to be out of here in 6 months. Yeah. I don't care.
I'm going away.
Yeah.
I'm going to Mexico.
Do you want a form?
Vacation.
Yeah. I'm going to Mexico.
All-inclusive.
Yes.
Resort for 2 weeks.
Yes. So don't bother me with your iPad.
They have a Thai food buffet.
Yes.
They have all seafood buffet.
Yeah. And that's what I'm focusing on right now.
And then unlimited drinks.
Yeah.
The umbrellas in them. That's where I'm going.
I upgraded to the unlimited drinks. The top shelf package.
That's right.
What do you want people to do? They probably went home that day like some fool came in here with an iPad stuck on his face. Whatever. Betty, I'm supposed to do something with that. Please. I gave him the form. I said, get to stepping or rolling or whatever you do next. Take that shit to the DMV. They're going to be like, huh? Fine. I feel like anything could walk into the DMV and they'd be like, whatever.
Yeah, we don't care.
Get behind the line.
Yeah.
Don't care if you're a camel with the head of a dog and the feet of a man. Get behind the line.
What do you have?
So I have here some barnyard news. I love wolves. So we're in barnyard news.
Yes, you do.
News.
I thought of you with our other, when we talked about wolves.
I think they're really important to the environment and they're just cool.
They are cool.
So it says a wolf was spotted in Belgium for the first time in over a century.
Go get those Belgians.
Go get
them. Sure, I love Belgium. Yeah, whatever.
It wasn't in the city.
Yeah.
It's just a wolf. Indicating a hopeful recovery, the Eurasian wolf is back on the scene. And it's been seen in the forests of Belgium for the first time in 100 years. Apart from humans, wolves have the broadest natural distribution among terrestrial mammals. So really, they should be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But because over the years, we've been hunting them, trying to kill them all because farmers,
mm-hmm.
Livestock, they like to eat. We like to eat the same thing.
Yeah.
And we want their territory. So the Eurasian wolf is the largest of the gray wolves. So this is Canis lupus.
Mm.
Not Canis rufus, which is the red wolf. Don't get them twisted.
Okay.
keep them separate.
Keep them straight.
They don't like that. Along with their size, they have coarse, short fur that helps them to adapt to a lot of different environments, especially in the cold. And right now, you can see them mostly in Siberia. But they're making a comeback in Europe, which is a good thing.
It means that the
environment can support them again. So throughout history, wolves have been persecuted, the thoughts of fear, wildness, and untamed power of nature. in the Middle Ages, people, that's when people really started to push it, you know, with the werewolf stuff and also threatening livestock, and they started hunting them. And they stopped kind of hunting them around the 1800s in some places, but they were able to hunt them to extinction in Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Ireland, Japan. They should go back to Japan because there's no people there anymore now. Luxembourg, Netherlands, Switzerland, and the UK. I wonder if you could get one of them to wear an eye patch. Like, no, seriously, I'm a schnauzer.
Yeah.
Like, not a wolf. Not a wolf at all.
No. I'm a schnauzer.
I'm a schnauzer. Today, today, threats against the Eurasian wolves are from farmers and habitat fragmentation. So they don't have enough space to roam, right? They can't be penned in. Mm-hmm. They have to have a lot of territory. And you need a lot of space for them to be able to sustain a viable population. So this one wolf was sighted, was seen, and it's been around for maybe like a year now.
Oh, wow.
It hasn't been seen with a pack yet. We don't know if it has a family or not yet, but it's been 100 years. It returned in December of 2017, and it's been hanging out, you know. It says the ability and success of the wolves to return to old hunting grounds is the perfect situation for conservationists and environmentalists because it means that these areas are becoming habitable again for wolves.
Oh,
so
great.
Whatever it is that they eat, whatever it is that they need to survive, it's coming back to the region as well. So despite resistance for rural farmers, they've been reintroducing Eurasian wolves, and they are occurring with and without the aid of humans. So we're introducing Eurasian wolves back into the wilderness. At the same time, the wolves themselves are, you know, helping the process along. So it says the inevitability of this will force these farmers to reconcile the differences with the wolves because they're going to be returning. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. You know, I think that just because the animals like to eat some of the things that we have, I don't think that's any reason for us to wipe them out. We need wolves. Mm-hmm. They're important.
They are important, and they're beautiful.
And they're beautiful. I found out recently the difference between a wolf and a dog.
What?
Is that a dog will always choose humans over another dog. A wolf, never.
Will never choose a human.
Will never choose a human. So that's the difference.
Really?
Yeah. So a wolf will always go with the pack. Dogs will always be like, oh, I'll go with this human. Like, they need me.
Wow.
Because we have a special relationship.
Wow.
And I find it fascinating now because I have you've seen my dog. I have
such a cute little
Shih Tzu,
dog.
Descendant of wolves somehow.
How?
I don't know. But this is the law, you know, all there were at the beginning were wolves. We domesticated them, and then somehow a Shih Tzu.
Okay.
A beagle, whatever. It's just interesting to think that they eventually, I mean, at one point they all came from the same stock.
Wow.
So this massive gray wolf, and then
Janeway,
my Shih Tzu.
So we have another listener mail.
Awesome. Again, heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yes, heyyouknowit@gmail.com. So Michael F.
Yeah.
Reached out to us. And it's in response to one of our other shows wherein we were drinking rosé.
In a can.
And we were talking about it. And he said, white girl rosé, when you said you were drinking was it Bebe Rosé?
Yeah. No, it was Babe. You made it black. Bebe's Rosé, y'all. It come in a 20-ounce can.
I knew that this had to be the stuff made by White Girl Problems, and I think she worked with the Fat Jewish on some promo with it, too.
Oh.
And sent a link, and sure enough, it is. And I was just like, this is rosé in a can with bubbles.
Yeah.
Right?
Rosé in a can with bubbles.
And as we all know, the whole market is flooded with these, you know, single serving sizes of wine.
Yeah.
That are in cans, that are in, like, plastic glasses with a peel-back lid.
Yeah, yeah, the Copa.
And it just reminded me of, like, years ago with the podcast, we were in an uproar because we discovered that a lot of wine manufacturers were not using real cork in their bottles.
Yeah.
It was a synthetic cork.
Yeah.
And we were upset because it was like,
What's
going on with this
Things
wine?
Things are changing, yeah.
And is it real wine?
So now they've dispensed with it altogether.
So the cork and the synthetic thing, we've moved on to different packaging.
Now we're in a can. I wonder if it's a better...
There's a bag and a box of wine.
But I wonder if these are better ways to transport wine.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we shouldn't have been using cork in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I've never opened up a can of wine and have it be spoiled.
Yeah.
I have many times uncorked something and been like, this is...
Tastes like vinegar.
Yeah, this is rotten.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were talking about that. Anyway, so now he goes on to say, also, the Four Loko that you're seeing in the stores isn't the real stuff. Now, we talked about Four Loko.
Oh, I was confused by that.
This Four Loko is this stuff in an oversized can. It's a liquid. It is booze.
Yeah.
It is caffeine and guarana.
And different colors, like purple,
it's
red, whatever.
It's basically like four drinks in one drink.
Yeah. And then Katie had mentioned that you could obtain it on the black market. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was confused because I also was like, I could obtain it in my bodega.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Yeah, but this stuff was taken off the market because they were marketing it to young people who have not a lot of experience drinking.
Yeah.
And they would drink too much of it in a short period of time and end up in the hospital.
Yeah, because also when you put something in a can, the implication is that that's a serving.
Yeah.
Right, because you can't close it up again.
Right, right. So he says, the Four Loko you're seeing in the store isn't the real stuff. In 2010, when they really shut down the original, that was when they shut down the original. The new Four Loko is missing the same amount of caffeine and some other stuff that made them blackouts in a can.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a revised Four Loko. Okay, so then it's not as bad.
But it's still bad. It's
I would never drink it.
No.
I would never drink it. But you know what I mean? At least people aren't. You don't hear about it anymore.
Both of these are deep holes to go down if you care to dive.
Yes. And we shall someday. We'll be doing a canned wine episode once springtime rolls around.
It says, also, I figured I'd drop some more advice on advice. Figured not. Why not go with the in-laws after hearing the episode where the ladies' in-laws were moving in across the street.
Oh, man.
Everybody loves Raymond style.
Oh, my goodness.
So he has given us advice for the mother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, daughter and son-in-law.
Okay.
Rude children.
Which one are we doing today?
So today
Let me do the intro. We're about to dip into some Michael F. advice on advice. Mm-hmm. Advice on advice is a segment where Michael F. sends us some advice that's unqualified and it stinks, and we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. So let's go.
So we're going to deal with the meddling mother-in-law.
Okay. A classic.
So here we go. What can I do about a mother-in-law who calls my husband every day? We live in another state and is always trying to meddle in our business.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is very vague about our life and has told her repeatedly to let us live our own lives.
Her name is Sharon. That's all I can tell you. You know the last name. Move on.
She is 80 years old and we are in our mid-40s. Mm-hmm. My husband and I moved out of state, the state she lives in, because of this problem 3 years ago.
Why did they think that was going to change anything?
But she continues to call every
day. Of course she does, because it's still long distance.
Yeah, when she cannot get any info from my husband, she tries to get info from other relatives about us. Help, she is out of control, and we are tired of it.
Okay. And in this day and age, they said she's 80, she could live another 20 years. We don't have, you know.
They're in their mid-40s, though.
Yep.
And she's in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still having this problem with this.
They're still dealing with this.
Okay. So
well, not everyone is as big as a bee as I am. You know what I mean? That's the way I put it.
Mm. Many couples struggle with in-laws who think they're entitled to know every detail of their children's lives. These parents feel that healthy boundaries do not apply to them because they are family.
Okay. I don't understand where this is coming from. I feel like this is the subject of so many books, movies, TV shows. Like, at what point do you not realize that you are that stereotype?
Yeah.
That character. You are a meddling mother-in-law.
Because you have a need and somebody is filling it for you. So therefore, if your need is getting filled.
But they don't ever watch, like, I don't know, that Everybody Hates Raymond's or whatever and realize that they're annoying.
Yeah.
They don't see that? No.
It can be very aggravating to deal with a mother-in-law who meddles in your private life or a father-in-law who offers unwanted advice in a condescending manner. Here are some tips for dealing with meddling in-laws.
Okay. So what would be your tips before we get to theirs?
If the woman is, this is the thing that happens when this, now that the woman is 80 years old.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind now she could live another 20 years. Yeah. 80 is 60.
Yeah. I would say.
And 40 is 20.
80 is the new 60.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know with that. I would put a special ring on
I
the
like
phone.
The style.
Okay. So I know that it's
you
her.
May have to look at it.
Yeah. And so then it can go to voicemail and then start establishing a pattern of every 3 days answering.
Every 3 days?
Yes.
Okay.
Every 3 days and just not waver from that. So the woman now is being trained that every day is not a day that she will be able to talk to you. But you will select, you would talk to her every so often on your own terms.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to my mom maybe once every 2 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. We email, mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while. But unless there's something like really going, I mean, there's not enough things going on in my life that I need to, like, what, you know what I'm saying?
It's not that close relationship where you're talking about everything.
But it's not just that. It's like, this woman's calling all the time. Like, what happened today? What happened yesterday? Like, give it some time for like something to build up so you have a conversation. I like your advice. I might just say, look, stop.
Yeah. See, yeah.
Keep
see,
doing, more direct, yeah, keep like, doing no. this and I won't pick up the phone at all.
Yeah.
How about let me call you?
Mm-hmm.
But stop. You
That's
know?
Good. That's yeah. good. There. So here are the tips for the advice.
Okay.
All right. Number one, unite as a couple.
Hmm?
Rather than
wonder twin powers. Activate.
Rather than focusing on how awful your in-laws are, concentrate on making sure you don't allow their behavior to drive you and your spouse apart.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a great marriage even if your in-laws aren't so great.
Yeah.
Work together as a team to find solutions instead of making the problem worse by fighting with one another.
Okay. Were they fighting with one another? I didn't get that impression.
I didn't get that either.
I'm just reading a lot into this.
Yes.
Maybe they shortened the
No, they didn't the shorten. I don't think they did.
You know, because I didn't see that they were having
apparently, yeah, they were like united on this.
Yeah.
We are tired of it.
Yeah. We are tired of it.
Yeah. So this advice is now putting her own stink on it.
Did you read the question? Lady? Okay.
You both agree it's best to live in a different state than your mother-in-law. You realize she is not entitled to know every detail of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband...
Or really, she's not entitled to anything at this point.
Yes. And your
You're
husband
adults.
Has the courage to tell her that. He has to. He has not.
Yeah.
But he should. Number two, do what is in your power to limit how your in-law's behavior affects you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop her from calling every day.
Nor yeah, can you can block her. You can stop
she
her.
She can call, but you don't have to.
Yeah, but you can also block the number.
Right. Nor can you forbid your husband from answering her calls. Well, you know what? Get cell phones.
Yeah.
And tell
is this a home phone?
Numbers.
This is a home
phone.
I imagine
this is a home
phone. Okay. This is a home phone, which I don't have.
Or, you know, the advice that's being doled out is from somebody who's like imagining
yes.
she's calling on a home phone rather than a cell phone.
I mean, it could be a home phone, but...
However, you can screen calls, and you can gently encourage your husband to do the same.
And you have been able to screen calls for the past 3 decades.
Yes. None of you right. are obligated to return her calls immediately. Visualize the future you want with regarding the frequency and type of
I feel like they're visualizing a mound of dirt freshly packed.
Like bouquet of flowers,
yes.
right? So the type of communication, just what you said, phone,
flowers.
Letter, email, text,
mm-hmm.
and then work as a couple to reach that goal.
Work as a team. Gang up on the beat. Do what you have to do.
Wait a week to return a call no matter how many times she calls before them.
Yes. Some people who speak to their parents regularly, it's like, I always call my mom on Mondays or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. I always talk to her on Saturdays or whatever. And we catch up. Just do that. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Is the woman single? Get her a man.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe
or a woman. Whatever.
Yeah.
A companion of some
get
kind.
Get her busy with something
She's
else.
Not dead. Right? She doesn't need to be wasting her time finding out what other people are doing.
Right.
Go out and get a life.
Yeah, because this is her problem where she is so interested in other people because she's too scared to live her own life.
Does she not have cable? You know? Get her QVC. Mm-hmm. Apparently they go wild with that.
Learn to let your in-laws be upset.
Yeah.
So when you change your behavior and draw boundaries, they may react negatively.
Well, this is a hard one, though, because I've found a lot of people, not me, a lot of people don't like it when people are upset with them.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
That's not my problem. But it, you know what I mean? For some people, they can't handle it.
It's
the
really
The idea
yeah.
that people are upset with them is too much.
Yeah.
So I'm sensitive to that.
Yeah. They may test your boundaries, similar to the way a toddler throws a tantrum, to see if you will cave in or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important not to back down when parents challenge you. Yeah, or even if they cry, make threats, gossip about you, or say you are a horrible son or daughter-in-law.
I say, you know what? Good day. Good day to you, ma'am.
Don't sink to their level. Be confident, respectful, dignified, and tactful.
It's so bizarre to me. So many people are terrified, or not terrified, are being terrorized by their own parents.
Yeah.
I feel like this is, and this is something that you've brought up before. Once you set, this is the way their relationship has probably always been, right?
Yeah.
So once you fail to set a boundary early,
yeah.
with somebody, it just continues to keep rolling.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, what's the big deal now? Yeah. I've been terrorizing you my whole life.
Yeah.
Now you don't like it?
Now you don't. What's it?
Yeah. Now it's a problem?
Oh, yeah. And now that I know it's a problem, I'm going to keep doing it more.
Yeah. I'm going to do it anyway. It's been working.
Number four is make an effort to put an end to gossip. You can't force your mother-in-law to stop gossiping about you, but you can confront her about it in a tactful manner.
Oh, you can just put things in the rumor mill that make no sense. That's what I would do. Just throw stuff out there.
I'm coming out with a new line of bologna.
Yes.
Sandwiches.
Well, yeah. I was thinking more so. We've taken in two men.
Yeah.
Right. Spicing things up a bit.
If she realizes that you know that she's gossiping about you, then in itself may be motivation for her to stop. No, it won't.
Those people don't care.
You can also confront those who are listening to her gossip about you without bad-mouthing your mother-in-law. Encourage her relatives to change the subject when she starts pressuring them for information about your lives.
I guarantee you everyone else isn't. Like, everyone in this family has probably written a similar thing to an advice column somewhere. Be like, what do I do?
Here's the thing. When people are acting like this,
everybody
knows.
Yeah, everyone knows.
So don't think when somebody has this kind of bad behavior,
it's just you.
That they're pulling the wool over everybody else's eyes. You know, other people get it.
She's annoying other people as well.
Yeah, or they can say, wow, she's always, they don't think kindly of her for doing this.
What about,
she's always fishing for information, bad mouthing.
What about an intervention? Will you pretend it's her 81st birthday party, but then you all jump out and say, stop fucking bothering us with your crap.
And then she has a heart attack.
She has a heart attack, and then everything's solved.
Yeah.
Right? That's step four.
Interesting.
Surprise her. Oh, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, but the boundary thing, when you start with the boundaries, people
react. Tough. But you have to. You really have to.
You have to do. So anybody, if you're having boundary issues, whatever age you're in at.
Do it now.
Do it now.
And don't wait.
And it may be hard.
It probably will be hard, but in the long run, it'll be better. I mean, Katie is a nicer person than I am. I say this all the time. But
I'm not, actually. I'm mean. She's my quite rotten mean. Core.
She's quite mean. She plays nice on TV. Right. But my thing is always, I just like to be upfront with people right away. And also realize that this is not going to come out the right way. You don't need everybody in your life. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
You don't need everybody. Unless these people are doing something specifically for you.
Right.
Right? Emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever. Then what are you dealing with them for? Yeah. If they're just causing you agita.
Yeah.
All right. So I found this. This was before the holidays. I thought it was so funny. It was in the New York Times. Stolen vodka bottle said to be worth $1.3 million is found drained and dented. Did you hear about this?
No, but vodka.
Exactly, but vodka.
When wine is not available.
Then vodka, yeah. Of course. What do you... Please. So the bottle was created by Darts Motors, a car manufacturer in Latvia, and it was fitted with an original 1912 leather ribbon from the company's first Monte Carlo rally car. The bottle was made of 6.6 pounds of gold.
Wow.
And 6.6 pounds of silver, and has a diamond-encrusted cap fashioned to resemble a vintage car front. I don't ever want to hear anyone ever say that black people are tacky. Are you kidding me? Latvia?
Are you kidding me?
The bottle was worth $1.3 million. The vodka inside was Russian. So apparently it was borrowed and placed in a cafe / pub in Copenhagen. Like on the top shelf.
Yeah.
No shelf is high enough for something that's worth $1.3 million. But apparently Denmark is so safe that they feel like they can leave what is the effect of crown jewels out. In public.
Are you $1.3 million.
Somebody
that's drunk.
I saw some images of it. The club was closed, right? Someone came in with a key, just took it. They found the bottle later, dented and emptied of the vodka.
You're kidding. So somebody discarded the bottle but wanted that vodka that was in
there. They're saying that they think that the guy stole it and then was like embarrassed to have it. No. This guy is my MVP. He was like, screw this. They're going to put something out like that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to drink it. And then I'm going to throw it down like I throw down every bottle. I don't care. I hope he had a party with it. I hope he invited some women over and some dudes. And they sat around and were ballers and shot callers and then threw that mess out. What are you going to do with a solid gold and silver? What kind of an idiot?
Is this your phrase for 2018? Ballers and shot callers.
It's a free the thing from 15 years ago.
Okay.
I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
How cool is that? Like, if you go to someone's house and they're like, look at this. What's in it, vodka? What are we going to do? Drink it and then throw it away.
Yeah. But isn't that worth $1.3 million?
Where are you going to take it?
What?
Where are you going to, like, how are you going to fence a $1.3 million
bottle? You see, that's a difference between, like, us and other people who are a little more shady. Like, they know how to break that down. I don't know how to.
I guarantee you, this guy got it. He was like, what the hell am I going to do with that? I can't have this around.
Yeah.
Like, the first person who sees it is either going to steal it or I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So they never caught the guy, which is awesome. They have the bottle back. It had a dent in it. So they're going to apparently smooth it out.
Refill it.
And refill it.
And put it back on the shelf.
Yeah. And put it back on the shelf for the next person.
Right.
They said it's probably not the vessel was found. This is the best part. The vessel, the bottle, empty, was found at the entrance of a building in Charlottenland, an affluent district of the Danish capital.
Oh, wow.
So somebody went to a nice part of town and was like, neck, and then threw it. They said it's not the most fun item to possess. They think the guy got rid of it because people were looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians, apparently.
The Russians were looking
for it. Why would you ever, like, these are the times that we live in that someone thinks it's appropriate to have 13 pounds of precious metal encrusted with diamond and just leave it on a shelf.
Please.
Please. Boo. I don't know. I like this guy, though. I like his style. Whoever this thief is, he's classy.
Yeah.
You can tell it from ashy to classy in a minute. And I love that he just threw it down when he was done.
Yeah, just boom.
I wish he had been like just like a classic wino on the street, like how dry I am.
In the gutter.
And the shit.
It's by his side.
Yeah, who cares?
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Okay, we have another listener email here.
Awesome.
This is from Sid.
Hey, Sid, what's going on? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, Sid sent this to us a while ago, but we were on a brief hiatus.
Okay.
Not like anybody knew.
And now we're back.
We're back.
Yeah.
So this is related to the holiday season and our favorite holiday character of all time, Krampus.
The Krampus.
So Sid writes, Krampus, the Germans are onto something.
Oh, they are.
Yes. So hello, Katie and Jaquetta. Hello.
Yeah.
I saw this on Tumblr and thought you'd enjoy Lula Borg's explanation of Krampus.
Okay. Lay it on us.
Okay. So it was basically, I'll read it in his voice. Boom, hello to you. I'm Lula Borg.
Okay.
A German man of adventure and music and many other items of dopeness.
Of dopeness? Okay.
You've perhaps seen me inside Pitch Perfect 2.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, so he's a comedy guy.
Okay.
And he's been with our favorite, what's her name? Miranda Sings.
They've okay.
They've done car karaoke together.
Okay, cool.
So he was talking about being in Germany and growing up with the Krampus mythology. And saying that it's basically, you know, it's a punishment for children.
Okay.
And it's a fear-inducing a tale for children just to keep them in line.
It's like a threat. It's like a boogeyman.
It's a boogeyman threat, and it's not at all fun, and it's scary, and it's terrible.
Wow.
Yes. And he was showing
pictures.
It's not
sexy.
Yeah, he was on Conan, and he was saying they were showing pictures of kids with the Krampus, you know, crying, and the parents are smiling.
Wow. So that's one thing I like about Germany.
Yeah,
they're like, you know what? Deal with it.
Yeah. So they basically, in Germany, Christmas is a fear-based holiday.
Wow.
And yeah, it's not at all fun.
So, I like that.
But that's really funny.
That also, I mean, when you think about when you're a kid, some of the lines, like, you better be good.
For goodness sake. Mm-hmm. Just, you better be good.
Yes, but it also, I always thought about it like, if I'm not good, it sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
You better be good.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
But it really gets kids to go to bed on Christmas Eve, like.
Till the parents can cavort.
Yeah.
So with Krampus.
Santa's on his way. You never know what kind of route he's taking.
He might be there. He'll be messing around.
And if he comes here and you're up.
Dieter. It's not going
to
happen.
And, you know, Krampus is going to be with him, so the kids run off to bed.
All right. I think we're good.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.